This is Sea Change Radio, covering the shift to sustainability. I'm Alex Wise. This week on Sea Change Radio, we focus on the PACE program, the nation's largest green financing program that's helping homeowners pay for efficiency, water conservation, and renewable energy improvements through future property taxes. We speak with PACE founder Cisco DeVries, who developed the program just 2 years ago while working as the mayor of Berkeley, California's chief of staff. We'll also get insight into the program from the founders of two of California's cutting-edge home energy auditing companies, Steve Malloy of Util Bill and Recurve's Matt Golden. Our guest today on Sea Change Radio is Cisco DeVries, the founder of the PACE program, the Property Assessed Clean Energy Program, which is a new tool to allow property owners and business owners to pay for green improvements to their homes and businesses. Welcome to Sea Change, Cisco.
It's a real pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Can you tell us a little about what does the PACE program do for owners?
I think it's useful to start and describe the problem. The central problem that we face is that most people, most homeowners, could save money on their energy bill if they made energy efficiency improvements to their house or even put some solar or other renewables on their home. Same is true for business owners. The problem is that the vast majority of people haven't done it. And one of the key problems that are holding back property owners from making these investments is that you pay for your energy as you go on a monthly basis. So if you use $100 worth of energy in 1 month, you pay $100. When you make an energy efficiency improvement or put solar on your roof, you're effectively buying a lot of electricity or natural gas up front, making an investment that will reduce your energy or produce energy for you. But it requires an upfront investment that then pays back over time, and for many people will over time make the money. But that upfront investment is very hard for people to make, particularly because people don't live in their houses necessarily for long enough, and just because people right now are, you know, it's hard to put together a few $1,000s, $5,000, $10,000 for these improvements. So the concept of PACE is essentially just to solve that problem. What PACE does is allow property owners to install renewable energy or energy efficiency improvements to their home, and then to repay the cost of that over time as a line item on their property tax bill. So instead of paying all up front for the cost, you don't pay up front for the cost of the improvement. Instead, you pay on your property tax bill every year as part of your regular repayment. It's completely voluntary. You only pay for what you have done. So if you made an improvement on your home, you're paying the cost of that improvement. And that means now that you are spreading out that cost, you are able to pay for the cost out of energy savings on an annual basis, and it makes it a lot easier for people to make that investment and to see real savings right away.
Recurve's Matt Golden tells how the PACE program helps his customers.
When you look at really cost-effective measures, you know, this is the type of thing where people could, in the very first month, be cash flow positive, meaning you're going to save more energy on your bills, you're going to save more money on your bills than the cost of your loan. And that's a great way to access people who may not have, you know, $3,000, $5,000, $10,000 in the bank.
Util Bill's Steve Malloy explains a bit more how PACE loans work, what sort of improvements are covered, and the goal of the program.
If you are to choose a loan that's, say, for 20 years, that loan can actually transfer to the next homeowner. So if I was to put solar on my house and take out a $30,000 loan and be paying $2,800 a year, if I was to choose to move after 5 years, that loan would then transfer to the next homeowner. So the great thing about that is that I wouldn't have to pay off this loan for the next 20 years. I'm only paying as I use that solar system in the house. And when I move, the next person who moves in would pay for that solar system for the next period that they stay in the house. So it really changes this to be pay as you use the energy systems in your house versus the huge upfront cost. The PACE program will only finance things that are affixed to the house. So they will finance changes to a water heater or a furnace or your ducts or insulation or implementing solar, but they will not finance things such as a refrigerator or a dishwasher or your lights, because those are things that are not attached to the house. And should you move, you could obviously take them with you. And the goal of the PACE program really is to identify things that will save you money and reduce that first cost problem that most people have. Most people are not willing to spend $10,000 for a new HVAC system or $30,000 for a solar system, even if it would generate them positive returns over the life of the asset.
I asked DeVries who typically qualifies for a PACE loan.
one of the remarkable things about PACE is that it really opens up the qualification to a huge subset of folks. Essentially, any property owner who owns their home in good standing, who's up to date on their taxes and their mortgage, and who's not underwater on their property, meaning their property's not worth less than their mortgage, generally qualifies. So this means that we're not checking people's personal credit. We're not getting into the details of somebody's own personal income. What instead we're focused on is the property in good standing, and is the project you're installing going to save you money? And if you meet those qualifications, you're in.
Where have PACE programs been implemented, and what have the results been?
So PACE is new. The basic concept is about 2.5 years old, and the oldest programs are not more than about 18 months, closing in on 2 years. So we're talking about the beginning of something. There are programs now, a number of programs in California, programs in Colorado and New York, they're all doing well. I think the exciting thing as well is how much it's expanded. 23 states have passed legislation authorizing PACE programs around the country, and there are literally hundreds of programs around the country that are in the planning phases to be launched this year. The federal government has put $150 million into helping to launch PACE programs around the country. So what we're seeing in the first programs is that PACE is doing what it is advertised to do. It is bringing people in to get energy efficiency and renewable energy projects who weren't otherwise going to do it. It is helping to open up that market. It is a great boon for contractors. They're hiring people and doing more work than they would have been doing. And it's good for property owners who now have a financing tool and a way to save money. And it's helping all of us reduce our greenhouse gas emissions as a community and meet our energy targets. Sonoma, which is the largest program to date in the country, has approved well over 1,000 projects and has funded over 800 projects. They're seeing real upticks in employment in the construction sector and a sustained demand for the program that is growing over time. So we're seeing a lot of good success so far.
Mr. Malloy talks about his company's experience with the PACE program in Sonoma County.
Our coverage currently is in Sonoma County. We launched there because of the PACE financing that's available in Sonoma County. In April of last year, Sonoma County allocated about $100 million towards efficiency and renewable projects. So we've launched our company up there, and we will be expanding as the PACE program expands across California and across the country.
My discussion with PACE's Cisco DeVries continues. I believe San Francisco has put some kind of limit on the amount of financing that people can receive. Was it 10% of your home's value? Is that just unique to San Francisco, or is that generated from your program?
As these programs have begun to spread, and particularly as they are looking to scale up over the course of this year, the federal government, as part of its effort to help spread PACE, but also to make sure that PACE is fair to consumers, protects lenders and everyone else in the system, have put in place a number of generally pretty good guidelines. And these guidelines are now required essentially of all programs, particularly those that receive federal funding. One of those guidelines is a requirement that programs should not, cannot provide financing in excess of 10% of the value of a home. So what that means is if you have a home worth $300,000, you can't finance projects more than $30,000. For most folks, this is not a big limit. The types of projects for energy efficiency we're looking at tend to be in the $10,000 to $20,000 range, and solar tends to be a little bit more than that. But you can generally get a really good project of any type done within the limits that are set. But it does make sure that people are not, for example, putting a $100,000 solar system on a $100,000 house. That type of thing would be inappropriate and would be a real danger to the property owner and to the lenders that were already in place.
And are there competing programs to the PACE program?
I wouldn't say there are any competing programs to PACE. I would say there are many alternatives to make these kinds of financing decisions, and that's exactly what we need. So if you look at PACE, it serves a very valuable purpose in helping property owners to make these improvements and to pay for them over time without cash up front. But people still can and still use home equity lines. They can still write checks out of their checking account. They could use a credit card if they want. And then if they're looking at solar, they can do solar leasing or solar power purchase agreements, where they're essentially just buying the power or leasing the equipment. all of those things provide an opportunity for property owners to get the improvements on their properties without the upfront cost. What PACE does is provide a new tool for property owners they didn't have before. And I think, and what all the data so far says, is that PACE opens the door to a whole subset of property owners who were not doing this before, particularly those that are interested in energy efficiency improvements.
Steve Malloy of Util Bill offers additional insight into how homeowners might finance these kind of improvements.
I think there's a lot of excitement around the PACE program, both in California and nationwide. I think the thing is that it's just one of many mechanisms for loans. So when the lending market recovers and there's more home equity loans available, there will be alternative sources of financing that consumers may go to. The great thing about PACE loans right now is that the criteria for getting the loans are pretty straightforward and simple. They involve basically you need to be current on your mortgage, you need to be current on your property taxes, you can't be in bankruptcy, and the house can't be significantly underwater, more than 110%. So the lending requirements don't involve the huge review that maybe a home equity loan might. But certainly the PACE program will be one of many financing products, especially as the economy recovers.
Somebody long with that. I need to call my old time used to be.
I asked Mr. DeVries to walk us through a typical PACE program financing.
Most projects require you get an energy evaluation. You have a firm come to your home, make an evaluation of the home, of the types of measures that would make sense for that home to save money and be more comfortable. With that in place, you decide, the property owner then decides, what do I want to do? What are the components that I want to do? And then you go on and apply right online. The application takes just a few minutes. You'll get hear back from us within a few days whether you're approved. And at that point, you can go ahead and get the project completed. When it's done, you let us know. We give you the paperwork and we cut you a check. So it's designed to be fairly simple, but we do want you to have done your homework first to understand what the project is you want to do and to have, in most cases, done an evaluation so that you know what the best choices are for your home.
Can you tell our listeners a bit about where the money for the PACE program comes from?
So then the next step, so the first step of this process is really as we talk about what's the property owner's experience and how do they respond to it. And the second thing is on the back end, you say, okay, well, where does that money come from? And the question then is a really good one, because what we need is a large, stable source of capital. We're talking billions of dollars, maybe more across the country. But we also want to make sure we do it without having cities, counties, states to put their own credit at risk. It shouldn't come out of a city's pocket. Cities are broke right now. They have other things they need to borrow for. So how do we make sure we protect the liability of cities? And that's one of the great things that PACE does. So again, using San Francisco as an example.
What are some of the assurances that people can have that this isn't just loaning money to people who might not be able to pay it back?
It's a good question, and I think there is no way that a PACE program or any program that puts people at risk, that are hurt, that is a risk to consumers, a risk to lenders, is going to continue. A great deal of work has been done to ensure that PACE programs are providing real value to property owners and properties. So let's just talk about what that means. The first is all PACE programs screen. So we're talking about looking to make sure the properties are in good standing, they're not late on any of their mortgage or property tax debt. That they also screen to make sure that the projects themselves are producing real value to the property owners. So this is means that you want to make sure that you're not just getting an improvement that looks nice but doesn't have an energy benefit. We're talking about improvements that reduce your energy bills enough that over time you're actually making money on the deal. So the real check here is, let's make sure we have properties in good standing. Let's make sure that the projects that go in are actually producing real value to property owners, producing cash flow to those property owners. So then at the end of the day, what we've done is to actually install projects that are on properties that are improving the ability of those property owners to pay. all their other debts. They're increasing their cash flow. So this is actually a particularly different type of thing. We're not asking somebody to take on more debt that they may not be able to pay. We're financing a permanent improvement to a property that provides cash flow to the property owner sufficient to make their payments. And then hopefully over time, well more than that to make more money. So I think this is a different type of system than people are thinking of, hey, I'm using a credit card to go to Jamaica or something. No, this is really about making a permanent improvement to the property that pays you back.
So there's a little bit of controversy that I've read about between the federal loan agencies, Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae, who are causing a little bit of stir about the PACE program. Let me read you this quote from Alfred Pollard. He's the general counsel for the these mortgage companies regulator, the Federal Housing Finance Agency. He says, "The goal of enhancing energy efficiency, which we share, should not overcome the need for prudent underwriting." How would you respond to this man talking about your underwriting not being, implying that it's not prudent?
In October of last year, the vice president came out with an entire support plan for PACE and announced it at the White House. It included a framework for PACE programs that included underwriting criteria for the project and the property. San Francisco is using every single one of those. The Department of Energy just this month came out with a refined set of those guidelines that are required of all federally funded PACE programs. So I think the word is it appropriate to have a PACE program that really has no criteria or can let anybody in? And I think the answer is no, nobody thinks that. That's why these criteria have been put in. Now, the question that's ongoing right now is, do we need to adjust those criteria? Are those criteria sufficient? Are they too strong in some cases, too weak in others? But fundamentally, I think what the difficulty is with FHFA, Fannie and Freddie, is a difference between checking somebody's ability to pay. They're very focused on, is that property owner have enough income to make a debt payment? And they have a traditional way they look at that, a debt-to-income ratio, for example. And a secondary choice where you're saying, in PACE, you're saying, we're going to accomplish that same goal, but using a different tool. Instead of looking at your income as sufficient to make the payments, we're going to make sure the project creates enough energy savings to make the payments. And the same goal is achieved. So now that conversation is underway. There's certainly no shortage of opinions, but the White House, the Department of Energy, the Department of Housing and Urban Development, Congress, others have been incredibly supportive of PACE, not just in concept, but also for strong underwriting. FHFA has been very clear they want to see PACE succeed too. There is a debate about how best to do that. I think over the next coming months, we're going to have some continuing revisions to standard underwriting process for these programs, and we'll be fine. But it's a good conversation, but I think we're just trying to approach it in a couple of different ways.
Do Fannie and Freddie have a role in the PACE program? Do they take first lien rights on these loans?
Well, Fannie and Freddie don't have a specific role in the sense that they're not buying the mortgage, they're not buying the loans, or the financing, and they're under traditional tax and assessment rules, don't have any consent requirements. They can't. But what Fannie and Freddie are really important for is they today are about 2/3 of the mortgage market. And that means that if you want to buy or sell your house, you care a lot about whether or not Fannie and Freddie really want you to, have a problem with having a PACE program lien on your home. And that's been the conversation. So I think they have an important role because we need to make sure that Fannie and Freddie are comfortable with the program and are not providing any adverse issues to participants in the program. And that's, again, part of the conversation happening right now is how to make sure we have underwriting so that Fannie and Freddie are comfortable.
One of the reasons we're in this financial pickle as a country is because of these mortgage obligations that have been pooled and then rated as trustworthy by Standard & Poor's, Moody's, and other rating agencies when they actually were pools of not very strong debt obligations. Could the PACE bonds be pooled into tranches and used like collateralized mortgage obligations, see, on collateralized debt obligations?
I'm halfway through Michael Lewis's The Big Short, and I think anybody, if you've read that book or an excerpt of that book, understands that it's hard to imagine what people were thinking when you read this. No, look, PACE is entirely different. Let's be clear what PACE is. PACE is a municipal revenue bond. There's no synthetic anything in it. It's an incredibly transparent security. What it says is there is an obligation placed on the property to pay an additional tax as part of the other taxes you pay, just like you pay your ad valorem tax, you pay a little bit extra for a school bond, a little bit extra for maybe a parks bond. Those things are standard issue. If you look at a property tax bill in California, for example, you'll have 5, 6, sometimes 10, 12 little line items for additional taxes. All we're doing is adding a new line there that says, okay, now you've participated in the PACE program, you're paying an additional property tax there. That is a senior obligation on the property like all other property tax and assessment debt. We don't have any of the concerns raised related to, oh, geez, didn't the mortgage, you know, isn't this the same thing as what happened in the mortgage market? This is very different.
Have PACE bonds been rated yet? And,
yes.
And have they been insured?
What we're focused on is not the insurance, not some other person saying that I'll back this up. No, you're looking at what is the underlying credit? How strong is it? How sure am I going to get paid back? Not because some other company says I'll pay you back if it fails, but because you're looking at the exact process of how property owners are going to pay their taxes and how it's going to get paid to you and what the possible delinquency rates are. So I think we're getting sort of back to basics right now in the financial industry on this. Nobody's taking any shortcuts. So no, the bonds have gone out. Boulder County put out bonds. They've had investment grade ratings. And I think we're going to see over time as this grows that there will be very natural ratings that are of investment grade and attract good that attract investors at good rates.
Let's talk about how PACE is being rolled out across the country right now. Could a county or city adopt the program without the state having already adopted it?
In most states, but not all, the authority to do a PACE program rests with the state, meaning the state legislature and must pass legislation in most cases that just simply amends existing law related to these types of assessment districts that allows for the financing of energy efficiency and renewable energy. Once that has been passed, that's what we call the enabling legislation. That then authorizes cities and counties to go ahead and do the program if they so choose. And at that point, a city or county, or in many cases what we're seeing are groups of cities and counties working together, then go forward and set up programs. So there's a two-step process to going forward. And then at that point, obviously we have, we want to get programs launched, and there's a bunch of work the city has to do once they've made the decision to go ahead. But the process starts with the state.
And how many states have implemented the program?
23 states today have passed legislation enabling PACE.
And according to Recurve CEO Matt Golden,
28 million Americans, Californians, 3/4 of California will be in a PACE financing district by September. So it's moving, and that's going to be a fundamental change. And it just takes away that need for that upfront cost.
Speaking with Cisco DeVries, the president and founder of the PACE program, the Property Assessed Clean Energy Program, and PACE bonds offer real estate owners upfront financing for energy efficiency and renewable energy systems, which the owner pays back through property taxes over a 15 to 20 year time period. What could a citizen do who wanted to see the PACE program adopted sooner in their state?
There are some great organizations right now helping local communities push for state legislation, or when there is state legislation, to push local communities to get programs started. One place I would go is to say there's a lot of resources on pacenow.org, which is a web resource that has a lot of different pieces of legislation, letters, information, analysis on PACE. But frankly, if you're an advocate and you want to see PACE in your community or PACE in your state, vote solar, votesolar.org. is a nonprofit, national nonprofit, I think based in the Bay, here in the Bay Area. They've been fabulous on this. They have a whole kit they've put together for advocates in states that want to work on this. So if you go to their website, look under City Initiatives, they've got a whole bunch of resources to help people get started. And then they have staff that are funded to help get legislation moving and going in states. So they can be an incredible resource, have been, and we work closely with them across the country. So those are two really good resources, I'd say. You know, there's a variety of other environmental and other trade groups that have been involved, from Efficiency First to Sierra Club to NRDC. But if you really want to get the sort of how-to, I would start with the Vote Solar and the Pace Now.
About one-third of a country's homes are actually rental properties. What do you think down the road the PACE program could do to try to tackle that gaping hole in our nation's energy efficiency upgrade program?
So the fundamental challenge with rental properties is that in most cases, the property owner, who is the person who'd have to pay for the improvement, is not the one paying the energy bill, particularly the electricity bill. The tenant usually pays that. It's called a split incentive. And it means that there's nobody in that process who has a real incentive to make the improvements. PACE programs actually can help solve that problem. By themselves, they do not. We have the same issue. The property owner would be paying the property taxes, and the tenant would be receiving the benefits. But if you, what we're seeing then is property owners in multifamily buildings have some certain options. The first is there tends to be, in many, many cases, common areas that are paid for. The utility bills are paid for by the owner of the property, and so they could make the improvement and see real benefits. And number two, things like hot water heating or heating systems are often centrally located. So any boilers, any hot water heaters, those systems are a great opportunity for a property owner who's already paying that bill to put use PACE to get some efficiency renewables in there to reduce their costs. On the other side of it, we're also starting to see where there are tenants who are interested in cutting the deal. So a property owner says, hey, we'll do this improvement, your bill's going to go down, but I need your rent to go up a little bit in order to pay for the cost that I've just done. The property owner gets some of the money back, but they also then have improved the value of their property when they're putting on the market for other for folks to come in to rent units when they have vacancies. There's been a lot of evidence now to show that energy efficient and green buildings are attracting higher rents. The central conundrum is that a property owner doesn't pay the utility bills for most tenants, and the tenant has no incentive to pay a bunch of costs to make it a capital improvement when they're going to live there only for a couple of years. The way you solve that is broader than just PACE. I mean, this exists with or without PACE. PACE by itself is not some magic tonic here. What PACE does is allow for a property owner to make a deal with a tenant to say, I'm going to make these improvements, and I'm going to pass them along. In many cities, in many states, the improvements that a property owner makes on a building can be passed through the tenants in an annual rent increase. And in this case, those improvements are going to be coupled with a reduction in the tenant's utility bill. So we see right away there's a way for a property owner to make use of the PACE program and for tenants to receive the benefit. They're going to pay a little higher rent when their rent increase comes in that next year, but they're also going to see a lower utility bill. For shorter term paybacks, 3-year repayments for basic energy efficiency measures, PACE may not be the best choice because PACE is good for paying for larger, big capital improvements. But you're getting down to a few hundred dollars or a couple thousand dollars of improvements, PACE may not be the right choice. In which case, it might be good to use an on-bill financing tool. So then you have the tenant who's paying the bill, is paying a little extra for a couple of years while they're repaying the cost of a basic weatherization of the apartment or something. So I think there's what we're going to see is not just one solution. PACE helps a bunch of stuff, but other tools are going to need to be put into use.
Cisco DeVries is president of the company Renewable Funding, the creators of the PACE concept, the Property Assessed Clean Energy Program. Cisco, thanks so much for being with us on Sea Change.
Hey, it's a real pleasure. We look forward to next time.
And special thanks to Steve Malloy of Util Bill and Matt Golden of Recurve. You've been listening to Sea Change Radio. Our theme music is by Sanford Lewis. Additional music by Alex Wise, Steel Pulse, Dwayne Allman, Boz Skaggs, and Grateful Dead. Check out our website at seachangeradio.com. That's seachangeradio.com to stream or download the show or subscribe to our podcast. Visit our archives there to hear from Bill McKibben, Van Jones, and many others. And tune in to Sea Change Radio next week as we continue making connections for sustainability. For Sea Change Radio, I'm Alex Wise.